So we're doing this series on foundations, and as Allison said, I'm sure many people here, it's not, is it, I think I turned it on.
No, it's not on.
You told me just to do that button.
Now it should be on.
Am I on now? Is that better? Getting there? Slowly, if I keep talking? Is it coming now? Okay, cool. Sorry. So yes, we're doing this foundation series, and I know sometimes it feels like, for some of us, it might be new, and for some of us, it's like, I've heard this stuff before. But you know, the Bible says that we are to come like little children before the Lord. Sorry. Don't know what to do about that. I can't split me in half, so yeah, the Bible says we're to come like little children before the Lord. And I was thinking about little children and how, I remember when my kids were small and we'd give them a bedtime story and they wanted to hear the same bedtime story every single night. And I just longed for them to choose something different. I'd show them all these other options and kind of hide the one they always asked for, but they always wanted the same story. And every time they heard the same story, it's all right. It's okay. They listened with delight because it was their favorite story. And my heart is that we would listen like that to the stories of Jesus and to the foundations of our faith. When we talk about prayer and worship and the Bible and serving one another and reaching out to the lost, that we would hear it with fresh ears every time. And say, God, what are the new seeds that you're wanting to plant in me? Maybe I have heard this 1,000 times, but God, you're saying it to me again because there's something new that you want me to hear. And so that's my prayer for all of us this morning, is that we would hear God's heart fresh for us, as if for the first time. So, prayer. I mean, it's such a huge topic, but I just felt like God said, this morning I want you to just talk about the heart of prayer. And the heart of prayer is just us talking to God. And God talking with us. It's having a conversation. It's like chatting. You know, when you have friends, the more you talk with them and the more they talk with you, the more you get to know them, don't you? And if you have a really good friend, I mean, you can get to the place where you actually hardly need to say anything, but you already know how they're feeling and what they're thinking because you know them so well. And I think sometimes with prayer, we get intimidated. And we get a little bit scared, a little bit nervous, because we seem to think there's this magical combination of words. And if I can just figure out what they are, then I'll get what I want, or this person will get healed, or, I don't know, Lord, is there something you need to hear from me to unlock? Like, I don't even know if you're hearing me. And so we get nervous. Have you ever felt that way? Someone says, oh, could you pray for this person? They need healing. Or could you pray for this person? They want to meet Jesus, or they want to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or whatever it is for you. They want a job. And you think, oh, please don't ask me. Please don't ask me. I don't know if I know the right words to say. And it's just like God said, you're just talking to me. Just tell me what you want. That's all I want to hear from you. I'm not actually concerned about the words that you say. I'm actually just looking at your heart. Yeah. And, you know, Psalm 139, verse 4 says, before a word is on your tongue, the Lord knows it completely. The actual one is, before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. And I don't know about you, but for me, that just makes me feel so relieved. It just takes all the pressure off. There's nothing to get right. There's nothing to mess up. I do that a lot in life, mess up. Don't like people to see that, but I do it. There's nothing to mess up. We're just talking to our daddy, and we're just telling him what we need. And I had a picture of like a little child in a high chair, a little tiny baby. And you know, when they're even smaller than that, when they're just a little baby, I could see this little baby sitting on the floor, and all they do is they just lift up their hands to their mommy or daddy. And it doesn't take rocket science to figure out they want to be carried, they want to be lifted up. But how did you know that? Because they didn't say a word. But you got the message, didn't you? And then they get a little bit to the place where they start making sounds, and maybe all they do is point, and they're pointing at something, and I remember looking behind me and thinking, what are you pointing at? Is it this? And kind of touching everything and thinking, which one? Because I'm getting the sense they want something, but I'm not quite sure what it is yet because they don't have enough words. And then the child gets a little bit older and they go, Mama, food. Got it, food. I know what you want. And it's exciting to hear them talk because now they're able to express their heart. They're able to express their need, and therefore I can meet it a lot faster because I'm only a human, I'm not God. But God doesn't even need those words. And whether you're just starting out praying for the first time and you're like that little child and all you have is the will, the heart, the desire, God sees it. Whether you're just starting to express your words and all you can say is help, he hears it and he knows exactly what you need help for, like exactly what you need help for that you don't even have words to express. Or whether you're like an adult who's got all the words, because if one of my grown-up children came to me and said, food, Mom, I'd say, excuse me? You know your manners. Please, Mom, I'm really hungry. Can I have something to eat? And as long as it's not a few and it's for dinner time, I'm happy to give them something. But they can even tell me what they want, can't they? So I can be really specific in meeting their need. But again, I want to say, even if we can't find those words, God is not like a human being. He doesn't go on what we have on the outside. He sees our hearts. Before the word is on your tongue, he knows it completely. And what I love about that is, you know, you might see me on a Sunday morning and think that I can talk, and obviously I can talk, words can come out of my mouth. But I remember the me growing up. I remember the me that in high school used to stand up there with my knees shaking and my hands shaking and the paper shaking in my voice. And I was terrified speaking before people, like absolutely terrified. And I remember one day I had to stand up and speak for a few minutes. And when I sat down, my teacher stood up and he said, wow, Zalovia, you must really enjoy speaking in public. And I thought, were we in the same room? Were we in the same room? I actually leaned over to my best friend and I said, Carla, did you see my hands shaking? Did you see my knees knocking? Could you not hear my voice shaking? And for years, I was perplexed by that. Like, what in the world did he see? Because it wasn't the me that I remember encountering that room. And years later, I remember hearing my pastor talk. Sorry, I'm on a tangent here, but I need to say it. I heard my pastor talk, and she was talking about that we can ask God to clothe us in his confidence. And I went home, and I thought, Lord, what is that? What does she mean by that? I don't understand what that means. And he said, well, Zalovia, when we put clothing on, we don't see the person in all their vulnerability. They're clothed. And when we see them, we encounter them with what they're wearing. That's what we see. It covers their nakedness, doesn't it? And that day, Zalobia, when you were 15 and you were speaking in school and your teacher saw something that you didn't experience, I had clothed you in my confidence in response to your prayers, because I prayed a lot before having to speak because I was so terrified. Usually, please take this away from me, but it didn't work with school, so... But it's like I clothed you in confidence. So although you were aware of your lack, very aware of your lack, that's not what he encountered. Isn't that cool? I just want to throw that out there as a freebie. That's got nothing to do with prayer, but okay. So whether we have a few words or whether we have many words, God's not concerned about that. You know, there's things to learn about prayer, yes. There are strategies, there are things that we can do, and we're going to talk about some ways this morning that we can express our hearts to God with or without words. But at the core of it all, it's just sharing your heart with God. You know, I was at a conference this weekend and I was really, really reminded, this is going to sound funny, but I was really reminded of God. Like, I was just so aware of God, and he's here with us right now. And he's with each and every one of us wherever we go. And there's something about being, and I think Allison said it this morning, being aware of God with us in the moments. I remember hearing this young man preach one time, and he said, I don't usually tell people this because people think I'm a bit strange, but I'm going to be vulnerable today. And he said, you know, when I sit in the car and I'm driving and I'm by myself, I clear the seat next to me. And I just kind of say out loud, Jesus, this is for you. And he said, I just want to be aware, you see, as I'm driving, that Jesus is with me. And I can talk to him. And by physically clearing that seat, it doesn't do anything magical. It just reminds me that he's here. And I was reading a book with my kids this week, and it's about it's a novel about the church in China, the persecuted church in China. And this family, I mean, just an amazing, humble man, and he has this very poor hut that doesn't have anything in it. I mean, they sleep on mats on the floor, they hardly have food to eat, hardly have clothes to wear. Like, they're very poor, you know. And yet there's this elaborately carved wooden chair in their home, and no one sits on it. And his friend comes to visit him from America, and he's thinking, your kid is sitting on the floor, your wife is sitting on a ratty chair, and so are you. And there's this beautiful hand-carved wooden chair here, and no one's sitting on it. Like, why? But as he came to watch them over time, he began to realize that this was a place, like my friend did, where they prepared a physical representation of, God, you're here. And actually, we want to honor you with the best that we have. Isn't that beautiful? And there came a time where he was imprisoned for his faith, and he was eventually put into solitary confinement because they didn't want him talking to anyone about God. And he was in a really, really dark space, and I mean, it was filthy, absolutely filthy. And there was nowhere to sit where you couldn't be sitting on stuff. And as his eyes began to adjust to the darkness, he suddenly saw these two buckets in the corner, these two little wooden buckets, and he worked out that one was meant to be for your waste, and one was meant to be supposedly for cleaning, but there was no soap and no water. And he took the two buckets and he turned them on there upside down. And he sat on one and he prepared the other one in front of him and he began to talk to the Lord. And I said to Samir, isn't that beautiful? She said, Mom, but did you notice that he sat on the waste bucket? And I want us to become aware of God afresh again, all of us. We all need that. And to honor him with our hearts and know that whatever you bring before him, he loves hearing from you. Mm. He loves hearing your heart. Yes, he loves hearing about your needs and the big things going on in your world. But you know, he loves just the little things that you want to share with him. Whether you had a lovely day, whether something funny happened to you, do you know that God laughs? He's the author of joy, right? He's the author of joy. So God laughs. He wants to laugh with you. Isn't that, it's a concept to wrap our head around, because I'm really sorry about this. I don't know what to do. Oftentimes when we come into God's presence, we suddenly get really solemn and really serious. And we kind of tend to wipe the smiles off of our faces and think we just have to be serious with the Lord. But he's the author of laughter and joy. And we need to remember that. And we need to declare that with our being. We need to show that to the world by having smiles on our faces, not because we put them there, but because there's joy radiating from our hearts. Because we meet with Jesus and he fills us with joy and he releases joy in us. And so we smile and we have something to smile about, because you know what? God is good. Amen. God is good. Isn't he? Yeah. Is he? Do you know that? Yes. The Lord is good. And he wants us to know that in our hearts. And when we talk to him, when we pray, he's a good God. And when we talk to him, he wants us to remember that. And he wants you to tell him your problems. And he wants you to tell him your thoughts. And he wants you to tell him your dreams and your hopes and your curiosities. And, you know, prayer is a two-way conversation. So have you ever come and spent time with God and say, Daddy, what are you thinking today? What's on your heart today? I remember walking down the halls of university and seeing some people. They were standing in a corner and they were just kind of laughing together, but none of them looked really full of life. They were just, and I was just so overwhelmed with this sense of, God, when you see them, what does your heart feel? I see emptiness in their eyes. How does that make your heart feel? And I was so aware of his longing to be their joy and to be their hope and to be their life, to be their answer. Someone said this weekend, you know, when you're lost, you need a map. And Jesus said, I'm the way. Let him be your map. Let him be your deepest confidant, your best friend. You know, when my kids come home from school, the first thing we do is, how was your day? And we want to hear about their day because we want to be involved in their world. We want to hear about their friends. We want to hear about the funny things that happened, the things that made them sad, the things that made them wonder, the things that made them frustrated. Because we want a relationship with them, don't we? And he is the holy, living God. It's true. But he's also our dad. And I believe he's wanting to call us in deeper and say there's more. When you come and pray, it's not about having long and lengthy prayers. I mean, sometimes we do have a long, lengthy prayer because maybe we've prayed for a long time. We've got words, you know, like my kids coming to me when they're older and saying, please, may I have, and this is what I'd like. That's great. As long as it's your heart you're giving him and you're not just making it words because you think the longer the prayer, the more meaning it has. No. If all you do is put your hands up, he gets it, that you need him. That's enough. He just wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. He wants to share our lives. That's why he came. Blaine said last week he came for relationship. And may we hear that afresh today. If we get nothing else, God wants to know us and he wants us to know him. And that comes from spending time together. You know, growing up, I always heard about having a quiet time with God when I was finally able to come to church, about having a quiet time with God and having a devotional time with him. And you know, that's really important because it's a time when we put aside other things and we focus on God. And you know, we can get to know people in a place like this, but let's face it, in a crowded room, it's kind of hard to get to know people very well, isn't it? There is something about the regular meeting that gives a thread of relationship, and we cannot miss out on that. But how different is it when we invite someone into our home and we just have them all to ourselves, and we get to go deeper in conversation and really hear each other's hearts? So that's what that quiet time is about. And I didn't really understand that at that point in time. And people would pray over me all the time about, they'd hear God's heart for me and say, you know, God really loves you and he loves the personal relationship you have with him and how close you are. And you know, I could never receive those words because I didn't know how to do those quiet times. And so I thought that meant that I must have tricked them into thinking that I have this really close walk with God, because I don't do that stuff very well. I mean, I try, but I don't really feel like anything happens. And it probably doesn't last very long because I'm not really sure what to do when I get in those quiet times. But you know what I did do? I used to talk to God all day long. I did. About everything and anything. I just opened my heart and I just talked and I talked and I talked and we talked back and forth, and he would tell me things and I would ask him about things and he would show me things, and we just talked all day long. And there came a time in life where for some reason I stopped those little conversations. I think I actually got too many friends around me and I started just focusing on the real world around me. And I stopped having those little conversations with Jesus. I stopped having him as my best friend. And you know what I realized? I was actually really close to him all those years, because suddenly I felt this distance. And you know, in some ways, I was robbed of knowing and understanding that I actually had a really close walk with him, because I had this picture in my head of what a relationship with God was supposed to look like, and I didn't meet that criteria. So I want to say, I'm not saying one or the other, I'm saying they're both needed. But hear me out, they're both needed. But we all, as human beings, have our love languages, we have our ways of relating people and to people, and our ways of receiving from people. And, you know, God designed us that way. And he can meet us in that way. I remember going to some Wycliffe Bible Translator meeting, and they said, do you know, the Bible is the only holy book on this earth that can be translated into any and every language. Do you know why that is? Because God speaks our language. He comes and meets us where we're at. So whether you think you have the words and whether you don't get hung up on that. If you're praying for someone for healing and their ankle is swollen and it's twisted, what is it you don't want anymore? You don't want them to be in pain. You don't want the swelling. and you'd like their ankle to not be twisted anymore. So just say, God, take away the pain. Lord, let the swelling go down. Straighten their ankle. What is it you want in its place? I want them to not have pain. I want them to be able to stand, for their ankle to be strong. Great, say that now. Lord Jesus, strengthen their ankle. May they be able to walk free from pain. Do you know what? That's enough. God is not limited by our words. He hears our heart. Yes, there may come a day where we learn more words, and they can be very helpful. But do not give up talking to him because you think you don't have the right words. He just wants to hear your heart. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to invite a couple people to come up and share. I really felt like God wants to give us different tools just to kind of take the lid off of prayer and what we think it has to look like. You know, some people like reading written prayers, and that's great if you find life in them. Some people like doing contemplative prayer, which I don't fully understand, but I do recognize it's about being in a quiet place and really focusing on an aspect of God or on part of his word. But there are so many different ways to engage with God, to share your heart with his, for him to share his heart with you. So I'm going to get Blaine to come up first. I don't know how this is going to look, you guys, so just bear with us.
You can do colorful prayer.
I know.
I'm just going to talk about positioning yourself for prayer. Sometimes, you know, some people go into a closet and lock themselves away. That's the position that they find the most conducive to prayer. You know, other people. There's lots of different things. I want to talk about nature. That's my favorite position for prayer. You know, I think the first time I spoke, I was talking about, you know, the awesomeness of God. And when I'm out in nature, I prefer the mountains, the forests. And when I think of forests, I think of big pine forests, not British forest. No, I have nothing against the British forest, but this is just what is in my head. My ideal spot is somewhere up in the mountains, in a forest, near a lake. That is my ideal spot. I know Zelobia, she loves going by the ocean. She says she can breathe. Nah, I like the ocean. It looks nice. Does nothing for me, really. But when I'm out, if I'm walking in the mountains on a trail, I can pray. I don't know what it is. It's just something. It's just a position, a place where I can really engage with God. I just look around and I just see his majesty. I look at the trees, you know, that are 100 feet tall, and four people standing with their hands together can't reach around it. I just think that is awesome. Or when I'm sitting beside a lake, that is a position for me that in a lot of ways it brings praise. You know, I just praise God. I begin to praise God. But it also puts me in a position where, like I say, I've had some very intimate moments with God in nature, and I just feel that I can really feel his love there. And I know that he hears me everywhere. You know, he hears me now. He hears me when I'm working and I'm frustrated and I'm praying about something. But I just really feel a deeper connection with God when I'm out in nature. And I can, I just am able to just sit there and listen to the nothing, the silence, but the wind, the birds, the trees creaking, you know, the fish jumping in the lake, the waves lapping up on the shore. And it just puts me in a position where I can say, okay, God, here I am. And I can empty my heart. I can hear God. I can hear God everywhere. But for some strange reason, it seems that when I'm in that position, I can hear God just a little bit clearer. And we'll all have different positions where that sort of thing happens. But like I say, for me and for a lot of people, nature is something that really brings life and really draws people into prayer and draws us closer to God. So, Kim?
As Salopia said, praying is a way that we can access or talk to God. But sometimes we do get stuck on how to pray. But as has been said, it is just simply talking to him. So sometimes it's easier if we can write things down, and we can write a letter to God. When we pray, it can sometimes be easy to lose our train of thought. We get sidetracked or something else comes into our mind. If we can write down things, it helps us to focus on what we want to pray about. The Bible tells us that we should pray ceaselessly every day, and that we should be always talking to God throughout the day. But when we write a letter, we can focus on perhaps one particular issue or a couple of particular issues. I think before you do this, you need to decide why you want to write the prayer, why you want to write it down, what are you praying for? Are you asking God to forgive you for something? Do you want to praise him? Do you want to thank him? But whatever the reason, you just need to ask God to guide you about what you want, whether it be a decision. You can just focus on that request. And when you write things down, and when you pray anyway, always, always begin with gratitude. Because no matter what's going on in our lives, we've always got something to be thankful for. And we need to praise God as well. And we need to tell God our problems. You don't need to write lots of words, the same as when you're praying. You don't need to say lots of things. You can just write a list if you want, just a list of things that you want to say. We can pour out our heart if we've got burdens, if we've got pain, if we've got anger, we've got sorrow. Or you can just write a list of things that you're thankful for. So it doesn't have to be long, but just say what you want to say or ask. And when you've finished, you can acknowledge that we know that God will deal with whatever we've asked for and simply say amen. We can put our name, but God knows who we are. And if it helps you, you could read out what you've written. You could read out your letter to God as a prayer. You might want to put it away. You might want to do something with it. You might want to bring it here, put it at the cross. If it's something that perhaps you're asking forgiveness for, something that you want to forget or get rid of, you can burn it, you can tear it up, you can throw it away, or you can give it to somebody else. And that is a symbol then that it's been dealt with and it's been forgotten. But whatever you do, just keep praying. I did find this, this is just a simple one somebody's written. It says, "Dear God, I know that I'm not perfect. I know sometimes I forget to pray. I know I've questioned my faith. I know sometimes I lose my temper. But thank you for loving me unconditionally and giving me another day to start over again."
Where do I start? I don't know. Shall I tell you why? Because good old Alison brought about the Bible, how important it is, and Zelovia brought a thing I wanted to bring in, Psalms. And I said, "Right, Lord, you're teaching me something different here." And he said, "Open your mouth and I will fill it." Now, that's a word from God, from the Bible. So I know God teaches us from different things, but if you've got a word, you can pray over a situation. Now, I want to share a little bit, because obviously I was going to share on something else, on how the Word of God changed a situation. Now, I'll go with, everybody's seen Lauren, not every, well, most of you have seen Lauren. And I want to share that when she was 6 years old, she was diagnosed with a massive brain tumour, to the point it was this big in the back of her head. They gave her two weeks to live. And the surgeon said, I don't know what she's going to be like. She was a six-year-old little kid, and my heart broke. I thought, Lord, what are you doing? And anyway, they said she might not make it through the op. So you prayed, Lord, you are God, you are God. And then when she came round, she could only move an eyelid. And this is the verse, I'll give it to you. I'm remembering. In him we live and move and have our being. In him, Lauren, you will live. In him, Lauren, you will move. And in him, Lauren, you have his being. You will have his... Don't start, Anne Campbell. Lauren is now 19 years old. She's moved into her place. We've been to see it yesterday. It's lovely. They've given her a mate who shares with her, and she's lovely. And, you know, all the way through that girl's life, we've prayed the word of God over her. I've prayed more about feelings in some respects, but then I've said, Lord, I'm breaking my heart here. But he said, my heart breaks as well. But you've got the ammunition, Anne. Everything. This word says you can create a different atmosphere. You can change the atmosphere. In him we live and move. All things work together for good according. And you've got all these things that come out. And, you know, I had it all written out what to share today. And it was already shared. And I thought, thank you, Lord. You know, I was nervous enough before. I'm even worse now. And I'll tell you something funny. I'm talking about the word of God. This is a funny thing, but it can be important. There's a man who went into a library, read the Bible, went back and said, I really like that book. Can I have another one by the same author? And there is no other author but God. And that's what we've got to understand. This is the living word of God. Sorry. Living. It's not dead. It's not for yesterday. It's living for now. You can get everything that you want from prayer out of this word. And this is what I'm going to try and share with you later on, not now. That if you've got a need, if you've got a want, if you've got a problem, there is a what they call a now word, like Lauren's. In him I live and move. All things will work together. You take those words, and even though you can see around you, it's, oh gosh, you live it because God has given it to you. You've got something to hang on to. So that's what the word does and keeps on doing. Sorry about this. There you go.
That's great, Anne.
So there you go. Thank you, Lord.
So, whether you like going out in nature and are really aware of God's presence and take that opportunity then to talk to him, whether you search through the word and find a verse that speaks to you and begin to pray it over yourself or over a situation, whether you write your heart out to the Lord, I used to do that a lot, write out letters, and just, I had so much bubbling up in me, and almost as I wrote, I would begin to understand my heart, because my hand would write it, and I didn't even know it was inside there. There's one other form of prayer I want to talk about that Lizzie Cox introduced me to, and it's called colorful prayer. And there are times when actually we can't find the words to even express what we want to say. I know for me, growing up, I always kind of stuffed things down, never really shared my heart. And so when people, and to this day, when people ask me what I'm thinking or feeling, I actually really, really struggle to find the right words. And I find myself trying to tell someone this is what I'm thinking or feeling, and then they respond, and I'm thinking, okay, obviously didn't say that very well, because that's not what I meant, based on what you just said to me, and I try again, and they give me another response, and I try again, and sometimes it's so frustrating. And so I'm going to, in a moment, we'll put up some pictures, but just for now, there's this thing called colorful prayer, and it's just got a circle on the bottom, and it's got some emotions listed up top. And we just sat down basically with some crayons, pencil crayons, markers, whatever catches your fancy, paints, I suppose, and you pick one color that speaks of these emotions to you, whether it's being afraid, anxious, lonely, sad, angry, hopeful, trusting, joyful. There's a few emotions listed here. And you pick a color that just says, for me, anger, I thought of red. And for loneliness and sadness, I went to blue. And joy was orange for me. And you just pick a color that speaks to you that. And then you forget the words. And then you look at this circle. And for me, I view that circle as like my heart and how I'm feeling inside. And if you were to ask me today, how are you doing, Zlobi? I'd say to you, something's not right, but I'm not sure what it is. And I couldn't really unpick it for you. And so I'd sit and look at this page, and I'd look at the word anxious, for example. And I think, okay, there's a word I've been given. Now I can look inside me and think, am I feeling anxious anywhere? Yeah, there's a little bit of anxiety in there. And so I would draw something on the page. You don't have to draw a picture. You don't have to draw. I'm very symbolic, so I tend to draw symbols of things. And I drew something really small on the page because there's not a lot of anxiety in me, but it was a little bit. And I would go through this list of emotions. And for me, it helped me to unpick this jumble of emotion that was inside of me that I couldn't put my finger on. And once I've drawn, and I mean scribbled, like there's no rhyme or reason as to what you have to put inside here, but once I put my stuff down, whatever I was feeling, onto the page, I then say, God, here I am. Now what do you want to do? What do you want to bring into my world? And if he said to me, was a little bit, where that anxiety is, I want to bring peace. I'd find the color for peace, and I would draw something from the outside coming in. And for me, it just reminded me that God's coming into my world, into my anxiety, and he's bringing peace. Or maybe I felt really sad and lonely, and he said, I want to put hope on your horizon. I want you to, beyond all this, see hope is coming. And I would put that color for hope way up top. It would just, whatever God was saying to me, I would add it to the page to say, this may be how I've been, but this is what he's doing for me. This is what he's bringing into my world. And then sometimes I'd ask God for a Bible verse for now, like Anne was saying, a now word. And I would write that around the edge of the circle. And that was just my way of reminding me that God's word is truth and it holds my world together. And when everything feels like it's just, and it has no shape, God's word is the foundation and the structure for what's really true. And so I just want to say that no matter what way you find to talk with God, where you go to talk with God, prayer can be done anytime, and in fact should be done all the time. Prayer can be done anywhere, and in fact we should do it everywhere. And anyone can pray, whether you know God or whether you don't know God. He's not bothered. He just wants to talk to you. He wants a relationship with you. Talk to him. If you want to know if God's real, call out to him and say, God, if you're real, show me. And I promise you, he will answer you. Yeah. And if God seems far away, say, God, I don't know where you are. The Bible says that you're here with me all the time. I need you to show me. I need to know you're real, and I need to know you're here. I promise you. I promise you he will show himself to you. And I can promise you that because I know God, and I know his love for us and his desire to be with us and to reveal himself to us. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. That was the big grand plan, because he wants relationship with us.